It is the renewed mind in Christ that will prove what the will of God is. If you're not in the Word of God, you're going to be impure. I'm just telling you that right now. I'm not talking about a legalistic, I have to read this verse and this verse and this verse, but someone who wants to know Christ, wants to grow, doesn't want to sin. Lord, I want to be changed. If you're in the Word of God, He's going to change you.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, your message today tackles an important issue facing the church today.
You know, Dave, the issue of purity in the church is a massive problem. You know, we have an entire generation of, quote, church attenders who say they love Jesus and they live like the world. And the ramifications and the testimony to the world is devastating. So how are we to remain pure as true believers? Our text is Titus chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verse 5.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
Okay, so young men here who are saying, okay, that's for the younger women. It's coming for the young men. We are all to be thinking rightly. We are all to be in sound mind in the context of Christ. And then he goes on here, young men to be sensible. In all things, show yourself an example. Now speaking of Titus, of good deeds with purity of doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, in order that the opponent may be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. And then if you look down at verses 2, 11, and 12, we have it again. For the grace of God, I read this earlier, has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. And what's the first thing God's grace is doing for the body of Christ? To live sensibly. The Christian life is about the renewed mind, about thinking rightly in Christ. We lived in a futile mind before Christ. Every believer is called to think sensibly, to right thinking. It is to be a characteristic of older men, elders, older women, younger women, young men. We have been redeemed from our futile way of life inherited from our forefathers. The way we used to think was just totally wrong. It was selfish and self-centered and self-focused. It was worldly, and we've been redeemed from that. We don't have to be conformed to the world anymore. We are to be right-minded. Now, what is it that tempts us, including young women, to not be right-minded? What are the dangers for everybody? The dangers for all of us here. What is it that we should never see in the lives of elders, and thus older men, older women? What areas should younger men and younger women be admonished to think properly in? Obviously, it's anything that causes us not to think properly, anything that controls our thinking. We saw a few months ago in the book of Philippians that we're not to be controlled by worry, right? We saw also with the elders, they're not to be controlled by, in Titus chapter 1, anger and pleasures and wine and money, right? But ultimately, I think the thing that controls us the most for all of us is probably worry or fear. And I want to ask you, are you a worrier? Do you worry about things? Do you worry about anything? Do you worry? Are you anxious? You are not in your right mind when you are worrying. You are not being sensible when you are worrying. And we are all tempted to worry multiple times throughout the day. We are all tempted to be conformed to the world, to think the way the world thinks. The world does not have Christ, so the only thing they can do is worry about it or deny it. Are you a worrier? Well, what causes us to think rightly, to think sensibly? Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. Don't let the world conform you by default. Don't start thinking like the world, but instead be transformed. He says, by the renewing of your mind, the renewal of the mind will stop the process of being conformed to the world. They are mutually exclusive. By the renewal of the mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Ephesians chapter 4 speaks of all the ways the Ephesians used to walk and the futility of their mind and the hardness of their hearts and the darkness. All those things relating to how they thought before they were saved. And he says in Ephesians 4:20, but you didn't learn Christ this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus, that in the reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness, holy and truth. We believers, when we are tempted to sin, we set aside that thinking and we renew our minds with the word of God and think rightly. And older women are to be teaching younger women who certainly have a myriad of things that they could be worrying about or whatever, to think rightly. Folks, our society runs to man's ways to take care of wrong thinking. Runs to psychiatrists or drugs or whatever it is. But here we see, ultimately, it is Christ that causes us to live and think rightly. Folks, the Christian life is about thinking right. It is about the renewed mind which can bring glory to God through obedience by the power of the Spirit when His Word dwells richly in us. The Christian life is about offering ourselves as living sacrifices to God rather than to sin, having our minds renewed so that we would prove in our actions what the will of God is. And this is what elders are to be. This is what older women and older men are to be. And this is what younger women are to be, sensible. I want to ask you, are you of sound mind? Are your thoughts intoxicated, or are you intoxicated by your thoughts which do not line up with the Word of God? Folks, we're all tempted to do that. And older women come alongside the younger women and encourage them, teach them what is good so that they will be sensible. Teach them the Word of God so that they'll think right in the context of all the temporal difficulties they might experience. And not only are younger women to be sensible, we'll see ultimately they are to be walking in righteousness. Back to Titus 2, and I'm going to read back in 3 because it all flows together. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible. We just looked at that. We've looked at it a lot. And then he says, pure. Now, folks, I believe the order here is important. To be pure, you need to be thinking rightly. You need to be sensible. It is the right thinking, the renewed mind in Christ, that leads to right behavior. It is when our hearts are controlled by the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, that we act properly. And that's what we saw earlier in Romans chapter 12. And now in our passage, we see that younger women are to be sensible and then pure. Now, what comes to your mind when you think of purity in the context of the Bible or whatever? First of all, we think of sexual purity, and certainly this word carries an element of that. But the concept actually extends farther than that in Scripture. It extends much greater than that, although it includes that. The word translated pure here is hagnos. And although it certainly can represent ceremonial purity, as we see in John 11 and in Acts, we see it used more consistently in Scripture to speak of moral purity. It generally speaks of that which is free from sin, unstained by sin. It speaks of that which is morally the same all the way through. It's genuine without stain. It generally speaks of that which is free from sin. Well, with that in mind, let's take a look at a few passages in which this word is contained. And first of all, I want to look at some in the Old Testament. In the Greek translation of the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9. And I'll read this for you. And if you want to follow along, feel free, but I'm going to read through a few verses pretty quickly. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9. Who can say, I have cleansed my heart, I am pure from sin? What the writer of Proverbs is saying, who can say they can be pure within their own means? No one can do that. No one can purify themselves, right? But ultimately, the concept here is purity from sin. Purity from sin. We look down to 1 Timothy chapter 5, and let's actually turn there right now. 1 Timothy 5, verse 19 is just before Titus. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 19. Paul speaking to Timothy, "Do not receive an accusation against an elder except on the basis of two or three witnesses. Those who continue in sin," this is the idea of sin here, "rebuke in the presence of all so that the rest also may be fearful of sinning." If you got sinning elders, rebuke them in front of everybody that everybody would be fearful of sinning. It's a serious issue. "I solemnly charge you," now here's a pretty strong charge, "in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, of his chosen angels, to maintain these principles without bias. Do nothing in a spirit of partiality. Do not lay hands on someone too hastily and thus share responsibility for their sins, for the sins of others." Don't appoint someone too quick or you are going to share for their sins. And then he says, "Keep yourself," translated here, "free from sin." It means pure. It's the same word. Keep yourself pure, Timothy, free from sin. Now, we all sin, right? We all mess up. But he's talking about someone who's living continually, habitually, who is dabbling in sin. And we'll see this. The same word is used in 1 Peter chapter 3 in relationship to how wives are to react to the unbelieving husbands. 1 Peter chapter 3, "In the same way you wives be submissive to your own husbands, the same way Christ was to the Father. Christ was not demeaned by being submissive to the Father. He was obedient and trusting himself to the one who judges righteously. In the same way, wives, be submissive, trusting Christ to your own husbands so that any of them are disobedient to the word, they might be won without a word by the behavior of their wives." And here's the behavior of their wives. "As they observe your pure," or hagnos, or chaste, "and respectful," or fearful, "behavior." A purity and a respect and reverence. That's what wives should be like, right? We have girls gone wild these days, everywhere. And I mean that in a bad way, because what they're doing is they're doing everything but what God has called women to be in Christ. And here he says, pure and respectful. Pure and respectful. We see this concept also used in parallel with sin in James chapter 4. James chapter 4, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." It's a picture of repentance in James for those of you we've been going through James. "Cleanse your hands, you sinners," and then our word, hagnos, "purify your hearts." Speaking of being cleansed from sin, stop sinning. Go and sin no more by God's power. We see that Paul desired to present the Corinthians as a pure church. But he was concerned because Satan had come in and was deceiving them through false teachers. And Paul uses this same word in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. "For I am jealous," verse 2, "for you with a godly jealousy. I betroth you to one husband," that is Christ, Paul speaking of the church, "that I might present you as a pure virgin." That word, hagnos. "But I am afraid lest, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds should be led astray." Folks, you need to think right before we act right. Your minds should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of a devotion to Christ. We see God's wisdom is pure, James chapter 3. "But the wisdom from above is first hagnos, pure." God's wisdom, in contrast to worldly wisdom, which is earthly, natural, and demonic, first and foremost is pure. God's word is free from sin. It is pure. And where do we find God's wisdom? Psalm chapter 12, verse 6. "The words of the Lord are," and in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, "pure words." Hagnos, free from sin. "As silver tried in a furnace on the earth, refined seven times." God's word is pure. We were commanded in Philippians chapter 4 to be thinking about continually, habitually, whatever is pure, right? And ultimately, folks, because Jesus Christ is pure, that should motivate us in the context of relationship with him to be pure, because we will ultimately be pure when we see him. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. What a wonderful, wonderful verse for believers. 1 John chapter 3. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God, and such we are. Wow. What a incredible love. For this reason, the world does not know, as the world doesn't comprehend who you really are, folks. Because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not appeared yet what we shall be. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Christ is totally unstained by evil. And if you have your hope on Christ, that this is your destiny in Christ, He has redeemed you from sin, He is pulling you and conforming you to the image of Christ now, taking you away from sin, you will ultimately be sin-free. This is your destiny. If you are focused on Christ, then you will be about the process of purifying yourself. You'll be about the process of trusting Christ through His Word so that you'll behave rightly, just as He is pure. Younger women are to be pure, unstained by sin. That's what you are to be. Sure, we make mistakes. If we say we have no sin, we're lying. But we shouldn't be continually, habitually sinning. We should be pressing forward. We should not go back to from where we have come, Philippians chapter 3. We should be becoming more and more like Christ. When we are convicted about these things, we should be on our knees praying, Lord God, change me. We should be stepping out in obedience, having the Word of God functioning in our hearts and lives. Not only younger women, but all of us, as we saw in 1 John, are to be pure. In Peter, we say, the Lord said, be holy because I am holy. And the Lord brings about and sanctifies us through the working of His Word in the renewed mind, which proves what the will of God is. Let me ask you, brother and sister, what areas of sin have stained your life? Is it anger? If it's anger, Satan's got a place in your life, and it's a big one, Scripture says. Is it worry? Is it unforgiveness? What area in your life are you impure? Do you have lustful thoughts? Young women, do you desire a husband other than your husband? Maybe not sexually speaking, but just someone different. That's lust. That's impurity. Confess it. Whatever it is, we are to be a pure people. We need to go before the Lord and just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And confess it. Let me ask you, ladies, young ladies, are your thoughts contaminated by worry and fear? Just confess it. Trust the Lord. He's faithful. Young ladies, are your thoughts contaminated with desires that are not of Christ? Just confess it. Confess it. These thoughts wage war with your soul. Confess it. Forsake it in Christ, and the war is over. And when it comes again, no temptation has come upon you except that which is common to man. But God is faithful, and He will provide a way of escape that you may endure it. Well, again, how is it that we remain pure? How can we do it? Do we just keep blowing it and then confessing it and blowing it and confessing it and blowing it and confessing it? Is that how we remain pure? As we've seen, folks, it is the renewed mind in Christ that will prove what the will of God is. Psalm 119, verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. Psalm 119, 11, thy word I have treasured in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. 119, 36 to 38, incline my heart to thy testimonies and not to dishonest gain. O Lord, just make my heart towards your word. Turn my eyes away from looking at vanity and revive me in thy ways. Establish thy word to thy servant as that which produces reverence for thee. There's an old saying, I think it was some old preacher from a while ago, years ago in the 1800s, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. You know, if you're not in the Word of God, you're going to be impure. I'm just telling you that right now. I'm not talking about a legalistic, I have to read this verse and this verse and this verse, but someone who wants to know Christ, wants to grow, doesn't want to sin. Lord, I want to be changed. If you're in the Word of God, He's going to change you. You say, how again can young women be right-minded and pure? Again, the solution, and we'll close with this, is in the last portion of Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. All these things we are to be will happen because of what he says here. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. That's happened. And right now it is instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly. That's what we saw earlier. Righteously and godly in this present age. And he says, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. And here we go. Purify for himself a people. Christ does the work. Christ does it through his word and by his spirit. When you yield to Christ, he will make you pure. Young women, this is what you are to be. And the result, if you name the name of Christ, can be one or the other. You can either cause God's word to be blasphemed as people look at your life and they say, that's not right. It's not in accordance with the word, and they blaspheme God. Or it can adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. Or your life in Christ is a beautiful adornment of the word of God. Older women teach the younger women so that the younger women will adorn these things. Teach the younger women. This is what you are to be. Now, some of you here today don't know Christ. Your thoughts are wrong and your life is wrong and you have an impure life. You need to be saved. You need salvation. Because God is the judge and you will stand before him. It is appointed man once to die and then the judgment. And scripture says it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. People joke around and laugh. And when they face the Lord God, there will be no joking around and laughing. It is a terrifying thing. But God is so gracious. He sent his son to die for your sins. He is so good, you will have no excuse when that day comes. Because God is gracious and he sent Christ to die for your sins. And you need to repent of your sin. Lord God, I'm sorry. I don't want to do this. You need to come before him and believe in him, crying out for a Savior, and he will save you. And you will be pure. And he will work on you in this life to make you pure. And you will ultimately be pure when you see him as he is, because he is pure. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. But now we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is. And everyone, including young women, who has this hope fixed on him, purifies himself just as he is pure.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, it's obvious that today's message has application for all of us, not just younger women.
You know, Dave, there really is application for each and every one of us. We as believers should be pure. We should be pure in thought and deed. And while, again, most of the application is for sexual purity, this extends beyond that to every area of our lives. You see, Dave, our motives should be pure. Our friendships should be pure. Our speech should be pure. Literally every area of our lives, we should strive to be pure in the context of trusting Jesus Christ. And now the only way to do that is, as we've seen, by renewing our minds with the word, confessing sin and trusting and obeying the Lord. So friend, if you struggle with being pure, go to the word of God, read it, study it, learn it, confess sin if needed. Trust the Lord to enable you to walk in a way that is pure and right in His sight.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.